We've been, this is our ninth week in studying the Gospel according to Matthew, and you guys get to be a part of that this morning. It's the ninth of 12 weeks of us reflecting on the Gospel of Matthew, and the Gospel of Matthew is the place where we've been trying, as a community, we've just been trying to pay really close attention to Jesus. Seems like a good thing for Christians to do. We've just been trying to, like, listen to Jesus through these words written down on this page. Because Jesus, this is the crazy thing that the church has been proclaiming century after century, is that Jesus isn't dead. Like, the human being, the God-made man, Jesus, isn't dead. He's alive. And that through these words, he's actually inviting us into something new. He's inviting all of us into like a new kind of life, the life of heaven here on earth. It gets called the kingdom of heaven in the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's the only gospel writer to record these particular words that you can see up on the screen. These words saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and broke and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? That sounds pretty nice. An easy yoke, a light burden, rest. Am I the only one who feels like that might be nice? Rest for our souls. Can I have some of that, Jesus? I'd like some of, even a side order of that. You know, I'd like some of that. And that's what Jesus is always, the living Jesus. If we'll listen, he's always inviting us into that. He's always inviting us That's what all of the Gospel of Matthew is, a very talky, teachy gospel. All of Jesus' talking and his teaching, all of it holds before us this. If we will listen to Jesus, he's offering us an easy yoke, lightness, rest. Even teachings that sound, maybe especially teachings that sound hard or counterintuitive or something like that. In reality, what Jesus is offering us is he's always offering us refreshment, rest, resurrection. That's what he's always inviting us into. Sometimes we hear, "Oh, Jesus is going to give us a light burden." And we feel like, I don't want to sign up to carry a light burden. But we all of us already have burdens. That's the thing. All of us, every single one of us carry into this room burdens. I don't know what it is for you, but anxieties, anger, fears, frustrations, things that are vexing us. Oh gosh, I don't know what to do with that. And most of us don't even realize that we're carrying them most of the time. We don't even realize that there might be another way to live. There might be a better way to live. There might be a lighter burden. And that's what Jesus is always calling us to. He's wanting us to take all of the burdens that we carry all the time and we don't even realize we're carrying them, and take on something new. He's saying, "Come, come, listen to me. There is such a thing as rest. There is rest for our souls. I want some of that." What might it look like for us to take Jesus seriously? What might it look like for us to enter in to rest? What might it look like for us to carry something lighter than what we're always carrying around with us? I just want us to reflect briefly this morning, really, it's brief, on Matthew 20. There's a story that Jesus tells in Matthew 20. There are blue Bibles that somewhere, they're normally on the ends of these rows. You'll probably find one if you need one. They're right around. It's a story that only shows up in Matthew's gospel, and it's hitting some of the main things that Matthew's wanting to communicate to us. I just want to reflect on this story. It's the carrot farmer, for those of you kids. Remember that first parable about the carrot farm and everybody getting paid? Yep, yep, you guys know. It's a story that only shows up in Matthew. Let's read it. It'll be up on the screen as well, and then we will come to the table. Matthew 20, starting in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like, the reign of God is like this. The life of heaven coming among us is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. So all of these guys have agreed to work for a denarius. That's like a normal day's wage is what they've like. It's like $120 or something like that. It's slightly above minimum wage or something. All of these guys are committing to 12 hours of like manual labor. But they know that at the end of the day, after they spend 12 hours of energy, they are going to get paid a denarius. They're going to get an envelope full of cash. They're all agreeing to this. Verse 3. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others. So this is the landowner. He went out at 9 in the morning, and he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. Tensions mounting here. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. So all of these guys have been laboring. They're covered in sweat, and they've been working, and he's still bringing more and more people in. He asked them, "Why are you standing around here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, those who had just showed up an hour ago, and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, because all the people who got hired 5 in the afternoon just got an envelope full of cash. "I've been working all day long and they just got it." But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." Pause right here. This has got to be the most reasonable complaint in the entire Bible. Am I right? All of these people, like, this is the most, you're handing out denarii, you're handing out like these coins, these envelopes of cash, and you're giving them to the people who literally just got here. I mean, they literally, an hour ago, they just showed up. They started working, and 15 minutes into their working, we started cleaning up, you know? Then you're paying them. They have not, do you know how much hard work I have done? They have not done that hard work. They have not put in the energy. They haven't even broken a sweat, and they get the same as us? Verse 13, but he answered one of them, this most reasonable complaint in the Bible. He answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" The landowner points out to them. He's just like, you're not getting the short end of the stick. You're getting exactly what you agreed on, what you knew you were going to be getting. What you were thrilled about it 12 hours ago. You were thrilled to be hired. Here it is. Take the envelope of cash. Take the denarius. I'm not being unfair to you, friend. What I'm giving someone else doesn't take away from what I'm giving you. What I'm giving someone else who has, take your pay and go. I can do what I want with my own money. Or are you envious because I'm generous? I'm generous. To which we would all reply, of course we're envious of this. This is crazy. What are you doing? I deserve more than this. Come, smell the sweat on my clothes. Like, look at us. We've been working all day long. We've invested 12 hours of energy and effort and dirt and sweat, maybe blood if they got cut while they're working. I've worked hard. I've earned this. I deserve this. And you're just going to include them at the last minute? They get the exact same thing? You're being crazy with your money. You can do what you want with your own money, but you're crazy with it. You are irresponsibly generous with your gold. They have not worked hard for this. They have not earned this. They do not deserve this. Do not deserve this. Of course I'm envious. Of course I'm angry about this. This isn't right to give them the same as us. I'm suspicious, apart from the layers of, like, Jesus might be talking about Jew and Gentile relationships in this passage, but I think this passage, on some really deep level, is talking about all of our lives. This is what we feel all of our lives. If you're anything like me, which I'm not saying you are, but if you're anything like me, most of my discontentment and my anger and my envy and I want that and why can't I have that and my dissatisfaction, you know what I mean? Like our culture, we live on a dissatisfaction in life. We see photos on Facebook or on social media or whatever. Most of it comes, most of my anger, my discontentment, my envy comes when I'm looking at others, when I'm looking at other people's lives. It's that moment when, like, I get done, like, mowing my lawn, and then I stop, and there's this moment when I stop, and I've done, like, I'm living my own life. I'm mowing my own lawn. I smell my own grass. I can smell the work of my own hands. My life is really good. My family is really good. It's all really good. I mean, we've got our struggles. We've got, like, our own issues. We've got our difficulties. We've got our weeds growing, you know, in our lawn. But there's this moment when I stop, and I look at, like, my lawn. I stop. I smell my own life. And it's really good. It's really good. It's that moment that I get on social media. When I look on Facebook and start looking at the pictures of other people's lives. That all of a sudden dissatisfaction and envy starts creeping in just a little bit. My discontentment and my dissatisfaction, it doesn't come when I stand back and look at my own life, my own lawn, my own garden. It comes when I start looking over the fence. When I start looking at other people. What are other people? Hey, wait a second. They got to go where to eat? They went where on vacation? Look at their lawn. Look at their life. Look at their garden. I am working so hard. I'm working harder than them. Gotta be. Are they just running up a credit card or something? Good grief. I'm putting in so much energy. And it looks like we're getting almost the same thing. Sometimes during, like, a hard season, when things aren't, like, working in my life, when money's tight, when, like, family is struggling, when disaster strikes or something, the grass starts really looking greener over there, doesn't it? Like, I'm the only one? No, this is something that we all experience. And it feels like they're not putting any in any of the sweat an energy, an effort that I am. But if there's anything that Jesus teaches us, if there's anything that Jesus teaches us through his life, through everything, it's that God isn't interested in paying us for what we do. God is not interested in compensating you for the energy you've put in. It's not what God's interested in doing. God's just crazy with his gifts. He's just crazy generous with his gifts. He's irresponsibly generous with his goodness. Nobody gets paid for what they contribute. Sometimes envelopes of cash end up going to the people who barely show up at all. This story, verse 1, this story is about the kingdom of heaven. It's about true life. It's about real life. The realest kind of life possible. And in the realest kind of life possible, nobody is getting paid for what they put in. Nobody's getting paid back for the energy that they expended. In this story, the landowner wants workers, sure, but it seems like at some deeper level, the landowner just wants to make sure that everybody possible goes home with gold in their pockets. That's what it seems like. The landowner's less interested in how much you worked and more interested in how much cash can I stuff in your pockets. You barely have to agree anything at all, and he's giving you everything. And that has one of two effects on people in this story. It either fills people with envy, or it fills people with ecstasy. It either maddens us, or it makes us just marvel at how wonderful and good this world is, how good this landowner is. Jesus tells us what this story is about right after he finishes the story. Slide number one, Bob. Right after he finishes the story, he says, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." And then, in case we missed it, right before he told this story, in verse 30, this is literally right before he told the story, he says, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." That's what this story is about. Jesus tells us what it's about. By the end of the story, the only people who are miserable, the only people who aren't happy, are the people who were there first, the people who showed up first. And those who were last, those who were barely included, those that nobody had hired, who barely showed up at all, they're ecstatic. They're flying high. That I think the primary difference between those two groups of people, is that one group trusts the work of their own hands, and the other group just trusts the landowner's hands. That gives out cash. He's crazy. His hands are crazy. The life of an easy yoke, the life of a light burden, the life where we can actually begin to taste rest, is ultimately a question of whose hands we trust most deeply. That's ultimately what it's a question of. Slide number two. The question that Jesus, I think, is always asking us is, whose hands do you trust? Whose hands do you trust? Do you believe that your life hinges on what your hands can do? What your energy can do? That your world, your security, your health, your family's well-being, your very existence, it all comes down to, like, what I can do? I believe this most of the time. I believe that, like, my hands are, like, clenched in doing work, like working on spreadsheets or wiping diapers or hammering out, like, trying to get a career. You know, we say, look at what my hands can do. Look what I can do. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've achieved. Look at what I've built. Look at what I have earned. Look what I have done. I am going to be, come hell or high water, I'm going to be in first. I am going to be first. All the time our hands are clenched. our lives are exhausted. Our souls are weary. We're so exhausted from trying to like hold our lives together, trying to like earn our place, trying to justify our existence, trying to like be first. Being first is actually, next slide. Being first is a crushing burden. Being first, I think our lives are weary because we trust our hands to make us first. I think that's a huge reason why we're so tired all the time, why we're so exhausted. Are there ways that you are angry? Oh, we can't be honest about it in church, I know, but like, if we got honest for a second, are there ways that you're angry? That you're jealous? That you're exhausted? You're confused? And really, at the heart of it, like, you're frustrated with the landowner. You're frustrated with it. Your hands, your energy, your effort just can't seem to be getting you where you want to be. And where we all want to be is first. We all want to be in first. And so what we end up doing is we end up becoming like distant from other people, envious of other people, looking at other people's lives on Facebook or something, angry with other people because we trust our own hands to make us first. But what if there's a different way of living? What if Jesus is inviting us into something different than that? What might it look like in your family, in your relationships, in your hours that you spend working during the week? What might it look like for us to actually listen to Jesus? Because Jesus is inviting us into something different. He's inviting us into a life where our hands aren't clenched, where our hands are just open, where our hands are just open, where we can like just learn to receive. Learn to receive like everything. Everything, our family, our lives, the very next breath that we breathe, it for what it really is. It's all a marvelous gift. It's all. Can you imagine a life where you don't have to be first? We don't have to be. You don't have to. Just imagine a thought experiment: a life where you don't have to secure your own life. A life where you don't have to earn a thing. A life where you don't have to justify your own existence. You don't have to establish your legacy. You don't have to do any of that. That's rest. And that's what Jesus invites all of us into. The life where we don't trust our clenched hands, but where we trust the merciful hands of God to give us the next gift, the next good gift. We can give up on being first. What a blessed relief. Not being first is actually an incredible gift. If you're not first, you don't have to stay in first. Imagine a life where you're not trying to use your hands to be first. You can be last. You're okay with it. And last is a really good thing. Last is a gift. Last is the place where we can forget about ourselves. What a blessed relief to be done with that burden. We can forget about ourselves and we can actually be with other people. I mean, all of us want to be first, but first is actually like the loneliest place in the world. Me and everybody else. But when we suddenly like loosen our death grip, that's what it really is. It's a grip on death. Our death grip on being first, we are suddenly free to just be with others. To be with others, to celebrate others. The grass is greener over there right now during this season, and that's wonderful. Your lawn is healthy. Your garden is growing. Your family went on vacation. That's wonderful. What God gives someone else doesn't take away from what God gives me. This is all a miracle. The landowner is irresponsibly generous and just gives good gifts to everyone. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it wonderful? And last, just happens to be. This is the gospel, by the way. Last just happens to be the place where we find the meaning of life. It just happens to be the place where we meet God himself. The gospel is never interested in you being first, despite bestsellers out there. It's never interested in your best life now or you somehow securing first by the work of your hands, by the prayers you pray. No. The gospel's interested in you losing your life and finding that God is there. That God has become last so that you could have life. The gospel is not interested in you being first. The gospel is interested in you being fully alive. And there is a huge difference between the two. Jesus himself, God in the flesh, the most fully alive human being ever, says that he is gentle and humble in heart. God himself, the mystery behind the universe, is always giving to all of us. He's always serving all of us. He's always getting beneath and serving and washing the feet of all of us. That's what God is like. That's the good news. If I could tell you anything else, that's the good news. God makes himself dead last. Makes himself dead last, and that's why we worship him. That's why we make him first. Above everything. That's why we come to this table right now in these moments. As we come to this table, you're going to be invited in just a moment to come and receive. This is us practicing as a community. Us practicing what all of life is. All of life is opening our hands and receiving from God. This is a picture of it. You're going to receive a bit of cracker and dip it in the juice. And this is a picture not only of what our life is like, but what God's life is like. God himself makes himself last so that we can live. That's how irresponsibly generous God is. He doesn't give us what we earn. He doesn't give us our wages. God is always, it's always this table. He's always sharing his life. The mystery of his life with us. God shows us what true life looks like. It looks like forgetting yourself for one bloody minute. It's like forgetting yourself and you wind up forever alive. It looks like last place, giving ourselves over for other people and winding up forever happy with others. That's what the life of God looks like. That's what the life of heaven always looks like. And so that's what we are invited to receive in these moments. So may we find rest for our souls as we learn to follow Jesus. May we be freed from the burden of ourselves, of chasing after first all the time, and find that true happiness looks like joining God in his irresponsible generosity. And may we open our weary hands and learn to trust that the landowner is crazy with his goodness and he will never stop giving.